Naturally, in the way ministry to enjoy the Bible, we enjoy it from the inside out, not the outside in. We do not come to the Word of God with our preconceived ideas all made up as to what it must say here, there, and yonder. We let the Word speak from its inherent integrity. It speaks from the inside out to us. Most people come to the Word of God from the outside in. They've already got their minds made up as to what it ought to say. So they come from the external to the internal and try to find that scripture which says what they think it ought to say. That's not the way you can work the Word if you're going to enjoy it. To enjoy the Word, you have to let it speak from the inside out. Now, chapter 11 of Hebrews is one of the great chapters that helps us much in enjoying the Bible, because it really sets the accuracy and the greatness of much of the Word which you have previously read. It sort of synthesizes it. It correlates it. Because we happen to know from Galatians that faith came with whom? Jesus Christ. And before faith came, then there must have been a time when there wasn't any. They could only have believing because they were men of body and soul. Therefore, any time before the day of Pentecost, whenever the Bible speaks of someone having faith, it is impossible because it wasn't available till the day of Pentecost. The confusion has come into the translations because of the word pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S. This word may be translated believing, or to believe, or it may be translated faith. It all depends on the context, both immediate and remote, as to which one of those two you would have to use, whether you'd use the word believe or believing or faith. Now here in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, we have the Old Testament people, all of them. Therefore, the word faith can never be used here because it was not available. The first verse. Now believing is the title deed, substance, title deed, to things prayed for. The evidence, they are yours before they are seen. That's the accurate translation of that first verse. Would you like for me to give it to you again? Now believing is the title deed to things prayed for. The evidence, they are yours before they are seen. Believing is the title deed. That's the word substance. It's the title deed. The title deed entitles you to the product. You have a title deed to an automobile. You can't ride the title deed home. You have to have the automobile. But without the title deed, you never get what? That's it. Now look at the beauty of that. Believing is the title deed. That's your signed document that it belongs to you. It's the title deed to what? Believing is your title deed to the things that you pray for. And you can only pray for things which are told you in the Word of God you have a right to pray for. The promises of the Word. Things that belong to us in our day and time, according to the Word, that we have a right to pray for. Now, our believing, not God's, our believing, and believing is renewed mind, according to the pattern of the Word. Believing's the title deed to the things you pray for. It's your guarantee that those things you are praying for are already yours before they are seen. If somebody brought us here this morning a title deed for a new Harley Davidson 74, oh, wouldn't that be beautiful? Green and white, too. Oh, man. Ha! You see, that one I could understand. Okay. A title deed, it'd have it all signed and sealed, all paid for. That's my evidence. That it's already mine. I haven't even seen it. Haven't even seen it. But it's already mine, right? But you can't ride the title deed. Now, the way I'm going to find out whether that motorcycle is really mine is I go down and pick it up. Because I've got the title deed, I go over, I get the motorcycle. Without that title deed, they might throw me out. They might send me to jail because they say, well, you stole it. Now, in the Word of God, believing's our title deed. Believing equals receiving. Everything is conditioned by believing, and our believing is conditioned by the promises of the Word to us. Now, I'm going to show you men who had never even come to Pentecost and what they did with believing. We who have more than what they have should get a good lesson that, for the most part, the Christian church has lived so far below par that it would have been better had Christ never come, because some of these Old Testament fellows believe more without Christ having come than we believe with the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our day and time. But believing is the title deed of things prayed for. Believing is something you do until the evidence comes into manifestation. Once the evidence is there that you're believing for, you no longer have to what? The moment I get the motorcycle, I can forget about it. Because I've arrived. Got the product. Now, verse 2. For by it what? By believing, the elders, obtained a good report. The elders were made witnesses. For by believing, the elders were made witnesses. We, looking back today, can say of them that these witnesses are only believers who have died. They are believers who have passed away. But before they died, these elders were some mighty witnesses to people and to us in our time for our learning. Through believing, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which was. Through believing, this is what we believe. Can you prove it? No, I simply believe it. Now, my proof for this does not lie in that I can prove the worlds were framed, but because I can prove other things by the process of logic and deduction, I conclude then what God said in Genesis 1:1 had to be right. You follow? For instance, when I can speak in tongues, I've got the proof that God must have raised Jesus from the dead. That I've confessed with my mouth the Lord Jesus, believe God raised him from the dead. It must be the proof that I've made him Lord in my life. And you just take a leap out into space and start speaking in tongues. Because you don't feel anything, you don't smell anything, you don't taste anything. Is it in there? God said it was. So to make him Lord is to believe and just start jumping. Which means simply start speaking in tongues. True believing, only by believing, do you understand that the worlds were framed. And that believing is conditioned by other records in the Word that you can bring into concretion, which will finally tie the whole Word together. Verse 4. By believing, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than what? Cain. By which he, Abel, obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, Abel, by it, by his believing, Abel being what? Dead, yet what? Speaketh through some little gal with a little light on? No, not in a seance. Because it says very plainly that Abel was being what? Dead. That's the opposite of what they teach. The spiritualists teach that they're not dead, they're up there. And they are sending these messages back to us. Abel is dead, yet he what? Speaketh. Then he doesn't speak back from the great beyond. He speaks by his believing. That which he believed and produced while he was here is what speaks to us regarding one subject. What? You know, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 12, you all got it, you'll need it. Because, boy, this will answer a lot of questions in your mind and help you to put the whole Word together. Not as Cain, who was of that what? Wicked one. He was of the wicked one. If you're of someone, you've got what in you? Who was he born of? That's what it says, that's what it means. And slew his what? That's why he slew him. Well, it says so. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brothers were what? There you've got it, just sharp. One is evil, the other's righteous. And the evil one slew the righteous one because the evil one got possessed. He was born of the seed of the serpent. Back to Hebrews. Now you'll understand why. By believing, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than what? Because Cain could not have offered an excellent sacrifice unto God because he was born of the wrong what?
That's right.
Now this will explain the Cain record in Genesis completely when you remember what I've just set before you. Verse 5. By believing, Enoch was translated that he should not see what? And was not found because God had translated him. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he, Enoch, pleased whom? And the only way you can please God is to walk before him by believing. Oh, it says so in verse 6. Without believing, it's impossible to us. That's right. For he that cometh to God must believe that he was. And that God, he, is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, who stay put on the word. Now this verse 5 has really been a thorn in the flesh to people. And the teaching is that Enoch was translated, that God took him to heaven, that he never saw death, that he never died. God just picked him up, translated him from here up to there. That's not true. To be translated simply and basically means transported. The word translated is used whenever a bishop in the church is given an appointment. It says that the bishop of Antioch was translated to New York. That simply means that his bishopric has been transported from the see at Antioch to the New York territory. They use it in every consecration of a bishop to this day. Same word. I should have known this from the verse, but I was stupid like everybody else, because I was taught that Enoch never saw death. God took him up there, and he's flitting around up there with God, enjoying it, while us poor suckers are down here working our fannies off, you know. So I had this opinion, but I should have known it from the verse. Because Enoch was translated that he shouldn't, and was not found. Was not found. Well, somebody went looking for him. And I doubt very much if they went looking this way. Right? If you were going to go looking for me today, what direction would you go? Not this way. You'd go this way, right? Well, after Enoch apparently went that way, according to their teaching, a whole bunch of people looked for him this way for 3 days or something, the word says. Now, you don't mean to tell me they're that stupid. Huh? If you people here all saw me go up this way till I completely disappeared, I doubt if you'd go this way looking for me. You might go over here to Armstrong in Wapakoneta and say, hey, can we borrow that thing that you used to the moon? We go look for werewolves. Well, class, let me ask you something. This just turns me on. It's simple. Well, hey, death is of whom? The devil.
Right.
And old Enoch so pleased God, he had so walked before him, God said, I'll never let him see anybody die. And Enoch, if you'll check the record in the word, never S-A-W'd. He never saw with his eyeballs. He never had seen. He never saw anybody die. That's what he says, that he should not see one. And we have confused it to thinking that he should not die. It simply means what it says, and it says what it means. He had never seen what? How many of you in here have never seen anyone die? Hold up your hand. Boy, a lot of you. Well, you're lots of young people. You got a day coming, maybe. But maybe you'll please God so you'll never see die. I don't know. But this is why God translated him. God took him from here over to another place over here. And over here, Enoch died. But he had never personally seen anybody else. What? That's what the word says. And by the way, Enoch, Moses, the other fellow I can't think of, those that talked about in the Bible, they're all generally buried in the same place, awaiting the Lord's resurrection. You know why? Do you know why I know Enoch died? Well, I know it from the Old Testament, but I also know it from verse 13 of Hebrews 11. These all what? If they all died, then they all what? Now, if they all died without, with the exception of Enoch, then he'd have say so. These all died except who? Enoch. Doesn't say that. It said these all what? And Enoch was one of them, so what happened to Enoch? That. Now we're ready for verse 7. By believing, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, reverence, respect, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he, by which, believing, he, Noah, condemned the world, and Noah became the heir of righteousness, which is by believing, because he was the only one left. You know, top man. Now, 8, by believing, Abraham, when he was called by God to go out into a place which he, Abraham, should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. Because believing is always indicative of obedience. Obeyed, and he went out, Abraham went out, not knowing whither he was. Sure, he knew what direction he was going. That's right. Not knowing whither he went, I think, to people's minds means what he didn't know where he was going. He started one day this way, and another day he went that way, and a third day. No, he knew where he was. But he didn't know what tomorrow would hold. Not knowing whither he went, he didn't know what tomorrow would bring, what 2 years from now would bring. He only knew what God had said. And upon what God had said, he started walking. By believing, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he, Abraham, looked for a city which hath foundations. Most things people build up on has no what? That's right. Old Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations. A city whose builder and maker is who? Really remarkable. When's that city coming? And old Abraham back there, even before the birth of Christ, was already looking for that new city whose builder and maker is God, which is the record recorded in the book of Revelation. Boy, don't tell me that people down through the centuries have not had the same God. Why, sure, the same God that's our God, the same God that was God to Abraham. And so he was already feeding believers. But you see, they looked forward to Christ's coming, to the promise. Understand? They looked forward because Christ had not yet come, because no gal had ever believed to bring him to pass. You and I sit here and we look back at it. But believing is basically the same Old Testament and New. When you believe, you do what? And old Abraham believed. He looked forward to that day. He saw that city coming, and in the light of what he saw in the future, he moved with power today. That's the key. With the light of what you know the future is guaranteed to be, you move with power in your life today. Else you're going to be frustrated a lifetime. I keep telling my corps and my staff that we here at the Way headquarters, the greatest danger we have is to be tempted by Satan to look at our tasks rather than the goal. We become task-oriented rather than goal-oriented, and then you flip out. But when you look at the immediate task in relationship to the total goal, then you stay happy. And most people in life are simply task-oriented, not goal-oriented. And in the way of ministry, we got to be goal-oriented. We have to see the greatness of where we're headed and not just a little job where you bleed your heart out, where you mow grass, where you, I don't know, throw a ball over the building. Just not those little tasks, but that little task is what makes possible the great goal of the future. We must be goal-oriented and not task-oriented. And yet it's the task that brings the goal. And most people want to go to the goal. They don't want to do anything along the line. We like to sleep in. And I suppose you know how I hate people who like to sleep in. That's right. That's my biggest fight with young people and with most adults. They can't get their fannies out of bed in the morning. They can stay up all night and rap about nothing. They call it the word, but it's usually just counterfeit. I have recorded some of those sessions where they sit till 3 in the morning and rap. Then I take it back in my office and really listen to it. They haven't said a lousy thing that's amounted to anything since 11:30. But then the next morning they're tired. They can't get out. See? Well, you want to tell me you're a man of God or a woman? You're too lazy to be a man of God or a woman. That's right. I'll tell it to you straight as I... You're never going to learn any more than what I teach you here, and that's most likely you're going to forget in 48 hours. Anybody that's lazy doesn't get anything from God. I could read it to you from the Word. Now that doesn't mean that there aren't people who sleep in till noon because they worked and really worked at jobs till 4 in the morning. I know this. But I'm talking about people who want to be leaders or who think they want to be leaders in the so-called way ministry, who can stay up and rap till 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning and then not be able to get up. That's right. When you tap this ministry and really believe it, you can really talk the word and walk the talk until 3 o'clock in the morning and still be back on the job fresh as a daisy at 8. I did it for years and years and can still do it. I have to, or if I want to, trust. But you see, you got to put first things first. But we use God as an excuse. We're not really believing, we're just talking about it. Verse 10 says he looked for a city which hath what? Whose builder and maker is what? Amen. And people, if they could do that in the Old Testament, just looking forward, they certainly were not just task-oriented, they were goal-oriented. Well, what are you looking for? You see, when I read the Word, to enjoy the Word, I always see it in the light of what the future holds for the believer today. Not just, what can I have today? I thank God for the day. This, as somebody said last night, gets the whole thing together. That's beautiful. But have you ever stopped to think that this thing is so big it not only gets the whole thing together today, but it's got the whole thing together for tomorrow, for the day after that, and totally for the... It's the only thing that's got everything together. Huh? Man, if they can do it without Christ, what can you and I do, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit? Verse 11. Through believing, also Sarah herself lambanoed strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him God faithful who had what? Promised. She judged him faithful who had promised. If I remember correctly, Sarah was 90 years old. Wasn't she? Lucille, isn't that right? Wasn't Abraham 100? Right? Well, he was 100 when Isaac was born. Now, I don't want to take anything away from people's believing, but I want to tell you something. It took Sarah a long time to get there in Abraham. God had given this promise to him many, many years before. Now, the reason I teach you this is so that you never get critical of other people. Because I just thank God when anybody gets to the place of believing. If you teach the Word to them like now, you teach the Word to them in 1970, let's say they wouldn't believe till 1990, if the Lord tarried, well, praise the Lord, they still did what? That's the greatness of it. And it's not your responsibility or mine to make them to believe. It's our responsibility to rightly divide the Word and hold it out there so they have an opportunity to believe. Now, old Abraham and old Sarah really freaked out on God many times. But when she finally got around to being about 90 years of age, she really began to believe. And when she believed, she conceived. Now, not all believing is conceiving, but this believing here was conceiving. Isn't that wonderful? And in the process, if you know your Old Testament, Abraham really blew it, because Ishmael was born. And Abraham interceded with God that Ishmael might be that seed. And the Ishmaelites were nothing but a thorn in the flesh all through the years. He really blew it. But thank God they finally got to the place, and that tremendous statement in verse 11, the tail end, she judged God faithful who had what? Boy, to get to that place is really something. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Out of Abraham, a beautiful figure of speech, just means oodles and oodles of people were born out of that relationship. Now these all, verse 13, died in believing. They died according to believing, is an ancient text. Not having received the promises, the fulfillment of the coming of Christ, and the promises that were made to Abraham were not fulfilled. Yet they looked forward, having seen them afar what? Off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Just simply said, well, we're just a passing through. My treasures are laid up, remember? For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. They could have gone back and lived it out here upon earth, you know, eat, drink, and be merry. But they weren't mindful to do that because they had seen the promise ahead and they stayed put on that promise. Now, they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, where God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he, God, hath prepared for them a what? City. Wonder which one? New Jerusalem. Number 17. By believing, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. If you have not read our research work on Abraham and Isaac, you ought to read it, because it is one of the great problems of the Old Testament, and I believe that we have given the most accurate solution to it. If I ever learn any more, any of our other people will certainly share it. But It even indicates that at that time, Abraham went beyond what God requested of him.
The research work Dr. Rural referred to is Studies in Abundant Living, Volume 3, Chapter 8, Of Human Sacrifice.
Of whom it was said, verse 18, that in Isaac shall thy seed be what? Told. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By believing, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By believing, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Beautiful Orientalism. By believing, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandments concerning his bones where they were to be buried. By believing, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a proper child. They saw that he was a proper child, you know. They saw that he was just a perfect child and would just be that type of child. This they must have seen by revelation. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment, which said all the children, male children, were to be killed. Verse 24. By believing, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches, esteeming the reproach, is stand for looking for the coming of the Christ, greater riches than all the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward, which is still future. That Moses was quite a guy. A real fellow. Now, when I see these things written, like here in Hebrews, and I read the record of their life in the Old Testament, I learned so many things about human nature. Now, Moses killed a man, right? One of the Egyptians, if I remember correctly, or was it? Yeah. And yet, did God hold this against him? Never once mentioned when it comes to the believing side here that he killed someone, but it does set forth that Moses believed God. Verse 27 says, by believing, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is what? That's his first coming, right? You and I, as the epistles say, look for his second coming. If Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses can so believe God and so walk looking for his first coming, how much more don't we have now to look for his what? See it? Now, Moses could have really ruled Egypt. He had access to the throne of Egypt. And this was in the day when Egypt was a great nation. But he never accepted that. But his training was fabulous. Moses was not some old ignoramus, stupid bird. Not a fella who quit school in sixth grade. He was trained under the court. He was trained in all the sciences, all the arts. That man was a highly educated man. As a matter of fact, he was trained in the king's court, if I remember correctly, for 40 years. And he was 40 years old, wasn't he, when he got in trouble and killed and had to skidoo the country? Then he was out for 40 years. AWOL from Egypt or something. Then he returned to Egypt, and for the next 40 years, he was the leader of the children of Israel. Through believing, verse 28, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Boy, now that must have been a real step, where God simply said, just sprinkle the blood on the doorposts, the lintels, and so forth. Eat the flesh of the lamb. And if you'll sprinkle the blood, the old devil won't touch you. And if you eat the flesh of the lamb and you believe it, you won't get sick. 2.5 million people did this. They left Egypt with all the wealth Egypt had. It was given to them. They didn't steal it. They were so tickled to death to get rid of them, they brought them all their possessions, their gold, their money, their everything else, and they said, get gone, fellas. Take her along just as long as we get rid of you. Huh. I say to people, move your lips, your throat, your tongue, make the sounds, make the words. All you have to do is do that. Christ is already in there if you've confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe God raised him from the dead, and you will speak in tongues. And sometimes I find people who have difficulty believing to do this. What would you have done in that day when nobody else had ever sprinkled any blood on the doorpost and nobody had ever eaten the flesh of the lamb? Old Moses must have really believed. And he was able to get 2.5 million people to believe with him. And they walked under the most adverse conditions. And as the psalmist says, there was not one feeble knee among them. Not one sick person. And today you can't find a Christian church with 20 people in it who haven't been sick for 20 years. Everybody's sick in most of the places, right? You see, something has happened someplace, people. And it cannot be in God, for God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am the Lord, I do not change, he says. Then it can only be in whom? People, men, that's right. We are just not rising up to our believing privileges. And one of the great reasons for this is that we have never been taught properly. And secondly, we've been talked out of the great power of God and believing. Well, I think the way ministry has a real place to stand today. At least we're beginning to lift people up again. At least we're getting people to start believing. And every time they start on that road, they're going further and further and further. We have people in the Way Ministry who, before they took the class on Power for Abundant Living, were spending between $600 and $800 a year on just doctor bills. After, immediately after the class is all terminated, and they haven't spent a dime on doctor bills. Well, why not? This is why when I read this and I see the believing Everything we do, or, you know, as Satan does in this world, is primarily designed to get people out of believing. And if you're honest, he's sure done a pretty good job with the so-called church, hasn't he, the Christian people. He's got us just about as pagan as the unbelievers when it comes to believing. We've got more faith in the banker, more believing in the banker, more believing in the doctor, more believing in the hospitals, for the most part, than we have in God, right? Now, I'm nothing against doctors. That's right. I can't believe that old boy can set my arm, praise the Lord. But as long as I can believe, I don't need him. And one of the things we got to start practicing is to endeavor to believe more. There is a rule, I might as well tell you, this has to go in your life. No matter how what happens to you, the first place you have to turn is Father. And you, with everything you've got, you go to him first. And then if your believing isn't big enough, then you better go the other way. Boy, we as believers ought to at least go to the Father. So these are tremendous things in here, much deeper than just off of the top of a person's spiritual head. By believing, they passed through the Red Sea like as if it was dry ground. Suppose even the dust maybe was flying, I don't know. Which the Egyptians are saying to do, got a real Baptist baptism. They drowned. That's right. By believing, the walls of Jericho did what? And have you ever read that record in the Word of God? It's so funny, you just have to sit there and laugh till your tummy hurts. That's right. They prayed around that big wall of that city, and it was 40-some feet wide. I've been there. I've seen the excavations of it. If I hadn't, I still know it from the Word. That's right. And they prayed about around that big wall, some big men, adults. Man, the people in town must have really had a laugh, huh? Can you imagine? If they'd have had psychiatrists in those days, would they have had a conclusion to that one? Prayed around once a day, get through, come home, get in their bunks. One day is bad enough, but the Lord says, do it a second day. So the second day, he takes them around there for 6 days, mind you. And I'll bet those fellows inside of town were just having the biggest laugh they ever had in their lives. They said, those crazy, godly people, you know, think they're turned on, they're off on their rocker. Seventh day, Lord said, march around 7 times. So, boy, they hot-footed around that big old wall 7 times. Really tremendous. The walls of the city of Jericho fell down after they compassed about 7 days. By believing, the innkeeper, not harlot. That's right. She wasn't a little red light district gal. The innkeeper. She was an innkeeper. Her name was Rahab. Perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies of Israel with peace. She's the only one that gave them hospitality and believed. And she and her whole house was the only one that kept standing. All the rest of them went down the drain. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through one thing, what? Believing, they subdued what? They wrought righteousness. They obtained promises, and they stopped the mouths of what? Lions. That's right. They threw old Daniel into the lion's den, remember? And old Daniel simply says, Leo, go lay down. He stopped the mouths of lions. How did they stop the mouth of a lion? By believing. That's right. And old Leo just couldn't do a thing about it except lay down. He couldn't have chewed him. He got indigestion, I suppose. Verse 34, they quenched the violence of what? They escaped the edge of what? Out of weakness, they were made strong by their what? Believing. They waxed valiant in fight. That's right. One man could lick a thousand by believing. And they turned to flight the armies of the what? Aliens. That's right. By what? Believing. Women received dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting what? Could they have been delivered? As long as they did one thing, what? Believe. That's the whole lesson. As long as they believed, they could have been delivered, but they didn't that they might obtain the better resurrection, which is the just. You know what happened? They just got tired of believing, so they died, being in the just resurrection anyways. You might obtain a better resurrection. They just got tired of believing. This is, as I said, is what happens in our lives. You just had so many glorious things happen, yet you finally get to the place where you just get tired of having to stand to believe. So, death is of the devil, it's the end of it. But boy, the next moment's the gathering together. So I don't get discouraged along that line. And others had trials of cruel mocking, scourging, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sewn asunder, cut in the middle. They were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. Do you know what that means? They sewed them up in freshly slaughtered sheepskins and goatskins. And what happens when that dries? Yeah. That's what happens to you when they put you inside of one of those and sew it up. When it dries, it just breaks your bones. What they did to them. Being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Of whom the world was not what? That's right. They wandered in deserts, in mountains, in dens, and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report, their report card still was A+. That's a good report. True, they got their good report through what? Yet they received not the promise of the fulfillment of the coming of Christ, but they saw his day. God having provided some better thing for what? A better thing for us, for we have seen Christ coming. We are filled with his power. We are born again of God's Spirit. We do have his gift. Some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we, for whom there's something better, Christ in you, the hope of glory, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Who is the cloud of witnesses? We have just read their names. All the believers of the Old Testament who believed and by their believing wrought righteousness. Their believing is the cloud of witnesses with which we are surrounded. Are they alive? No, they're what? Dead. They're not a cloud of witnesses who are alive. They're dead. These all what? It's their believing that is the witness to us. Therefore, let us, because of this, let us lay aside every weight. We got to lay it aside. You don't pray about it, you lay it aside. Every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set what before us. If they of the Old Testament could so believe and accomplish what the Word says they accomplished, then we, having something better in Christ, certainly we can walk so that we're not weighed down, so that we're not beset with all kind of sin. And we just run with patience. Patience. Having done all, what? That's right. Looking, verse 2, looking unto who? Not unto the world situation. When you keep your eyes upon the world situation, you'll never have believing in God, for the world will beat you. As long as Peter looked up, he walked on the water. When he looked at the water, he started going down. As long as you and I look at the Lord Jesus Christ and the greatness of His Word, we're going to keep going up. But when you start looking round about you at the world situation and at people, and you keep reading all the newspapers and listening to all the television shows, you always go down. It'll beat you, people. Because what you feed your mind is the only thing you can believe. And if we feed the greatness of God's Word to our minds, we gotta go up. It's the law. You feed anything else to that mind, it's got to go down. We only rise to the end or the degree of our believing, and our believing is conditioned by what we send to the mind. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our, no. He's the author and finisher of what? Faith. He's the author and finisher of it. Look what He did. Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. It wasn't the joy of the cross He endured. Doesn't say that. But the joy that was set before Him, what He could see in the future of what He could accomplish if He endured the cross, the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Isn't that tremendous? And the Scripture says in Ephesians that we are already seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're already seated. Well, bless God, if we're already seated there, then we're just looking down at the stupidity of the world. Because we're already looking from a higher altitude. We're seeing it from God's redemptive point of view, what we already have in Him. That's why this ministry and the Word it represents gets people on the up and up. Now they may trip out, but so did Abraham. There's a man mentioned in here by the name of David. He had a night out. You see, that's no excuse for you tripping out or for me tripping out or having a night. But they did. And yet, they believed God. They came back and they believed. That's why there can be no criticism in this ministry. There can be no judgment of one man to another. But there can only be a holding forth of the Word. For it's the Word that's profitable for right believing, for reproof, for correction, which is instruction in righteousness. And praise the Lord when there's just one believer. Just praise the Lord. We talked this morning in the meeting that I had with the men from California and Wichita and so forth. As long as there's one of our believers in a city, that city is blessed. I don't care if it's New York. Long as there's one believer there, that city is blessed because God's there. Trust. We were talking this morning, and boy, that stuff is hot on my soul. Let's split. That's right. Let's get out of Jerusalem, which means out of the way headquarters, out of Wichita, out of California. Let's start learning the Word, and then as soon as you know enough of the Word that you can trust yourself with it, or God can trust you, then hit some other place where there isn't a group, and you start witnessing. Go win 4, 5, 6. Walk down the street. Slug them with a word or do something. Then you get a half a dozen there. Then you get 40 or 50. We do a class. We start them rolling. Then they split again. We go to another city. We don't have to be together much. All we need to do is know that we're together in the walking of the fellowship of the greatness of the word of our day and time. We got 100 people, let's say, in Wichita. All right, kick out 75 of them. They've sat around there, heard so much of the words, they ought to be out some other city. That's right. Keep the 25 there till you got them trained plus 75 others, and then kick out another 75. You know, when I mean kick out, that means with love. You know, not excommunication. It's just saying, all right, honey, now get going. We can always find where the need is. Because wherever the people are, there's the need. So you have no problem there. And this kind of thing, again, will be the very great power of our country. Why not talk to the governors of the state? They need the Lord. If you can't see him, see his secretary and tell him you're staying till you see the governor. You ain't got anything else to do, just sit in. When he does, tell him what God's doing. Didn't Paul do that? Old Felix, old Festus. And boy, just talk. People, there's more believing right here now in this place than perhaps in the entire world outside. More united, you know, consolidated. All right. Now we've got to take that believing out into the world of need. And God has no hands but our hands, remember, with which to give them bread, bread of the word. He has no feet but our feet with which to walk among the almost dead. We say that we are his and he is ours. Deeds are the proof of that, not words. And these are the proving hours, right now. The hour is late. We've only got one life to live and one life to give. We might as well give our utmost for his highest and not settle for that which is good when God offers us the best. And the best is God and the greatness and the wonderfulness of his word. That's what believing accomplishes. Father, I thank you for the great night and the greatness of your word and the greatness of your love and power. And for your goodness unto us. And for sending us and raising us up men and women, young people, boys and girls who really stand for your word. Wherever we go, whatever we do, we just stand for the word. Come hell or high water, Father, we just stand for the word. So I thank you for this through Christ Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Love you.